Discussions with the Jansha Chen in Bangkok, October 2007. Edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Robert, Maeve and John, Sukin, Ivan, Peter and Anne.
Last time I was here, Maeve brought up a question from the city maga about the frog. And we had a discussion about the frog who was listening to the Buddha and caught the sign of his voice.
In his voice.
Sign of the Buddha's voice or something, right?
A sign in his voice.
In his voice. And was squashed and immediately died and was born as a deva. Then as a deva came to listen to the Buddha and became Sotapanna, same all on the same day. Yeah. And I still can't understand about the sign of the voice. What does that mean?
I think that it depends on Kusala Citta.
Mm-hmm.
When Kusala Citta arises before death consciousness, yes, or it can condition birth in him, that's all.
Now,
because we cannot understand or we cannot know any other cittas anymore.
Do you think that hearing the Buddha was the condition for Kusala Citta to arise?
We cannot know the accumulation from eons and eons. So who can tell whether now, just after hearing, there can be Kusala or Kusala? So fast. Like now, we think that there are only Kusala moments when there is discussion. But even at moment of a discussion, there's also seeing and hearing. What about the Chana after that? See? So no one can expect what's there because they are asking always so fast.
So in the case of the fog, could it be that as a human being in previous life, you got other Buddhas and he maybe recognized something about that kind of voice?
It depends on the understanding of Dhamma.
But in the case of the frog, there's no understanding.
Because there are not just one life, so who can understand the accumulation? It's only thinking about the other stories.
Yes.
Well, that should be the accumulation of understanding Dhamma right now as Dhamma. It's not just the other method or the development of understanding this moment as Dhamma, which is not easy at all. We learn about the term Dhamma, but can that be the understanding right now? It's each different Dhamma as it is, like seeing. No time to think about it, but it's Dhamma. And the way to become Sotapanna, the way to understand Dhamma, is anything should be neglected at all. Otherwise, jump from this moment to other moments with lots of avijja. So how can there be the understanding of Dhamma? As those who have this vipassanayana and become so tapana in any life. It begins to be just a little bit clearer that every situation is an opportunity, not so much special times. Like this, going to India seems special, but in actual fact, back in Bangkok,
same.
Been thinking a lot about the cheating lopa, and how even maybe it seems a little understanding it steals away and then makes a story around that.
It's expectation again and again and again, and that is lopa. Hoping or wishing that this is the right time. But actually, from now, if there is no understanding of reality right now, forget about anything. Just understanding reality. No matter from hearing, considering, or being aware of the characteristic, and begin to really understand Dhamma is so sad.
I think it's very important to realize that there is no understanding. Even now, it sort of holds you back from trying to do something else, you know. It's
coming back to Abhirangi right now, from one to another, like sound, your object, hearing, thinking, until, and that is so used to all these varieties. Think about it. No selection. Because you see that usually most people ignore visible objects. Thinking about the Potipatiya Dharma and other things.
Sitting down. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about being aware of ignorance the other day, you know, of how much is not known, but it, and then thinking about that, it's like Lopa wants to understand ignorance, so it's like there's so many tricks that, yes, I think that's what slows it down, isn't it? So much Lopa for understanding.
And once Lopa is known, things will not come back so soon. But there are opportunities for Lopa to arise as much. But so it depends on Panya, only if which can see Lopa when it arises.
And hearing Dhamma is not like a, you know, magic thing, you know. I mean, you have this Lopa ignorance and everything now, and just hearing Dhamma is not going to drive that away. The same Lopa will be there when you're listening to Dhamma.
That's why I think this this concept of cheating is a powerful, isn't it? In terms of that, of the twisting and Ajahn, I wonder if you could help explain how the parami developed, because I was reading from your book and where you stress the importance of the development of the parami. But there's some confusion around, again, it's that of how the akusala can stop the development. So there might be a moment of dana, and then immediately conceit, mana, arises after. So I think I'm confused about how the parami develops.
Is this moment not quite a week?
Can be, but not necessarily.
Otherwise, there is no parami at all. So it's not like...
So there must be the awareness in the first
place. It's so natural. That's why the understanding the real Dhamma must be very natural without the... what you call it? Inducement of the sound. As now, it's parami. We don't have to look for at the moment of parami. Otherwise we think about parami, we'd like to have parami, we try to develop parami. But it can be any time, any moment of understanding. And other usala, like dana, when there's understanding about dana, that is the self at all at every moment, is parami. But it has to be understanding. Otherwise people can give without any understanding. So how can that be parami? But when there's understanding, there's yourself, it's done by Chitta and Jiva seconds, right? So it can be right now. The same as Sila and now, Viriya, Satya, Anidana, from moment to moment. This shows that there is the understanding of yourself right now.
Well, what the other lies in when we don't hear Buddha's teaching, so we know nothing about anatta, can there still be parami developing?
I'm seeing that from mind to mind, there are the understanding accumulated somehow. But it depends on whether it arrives for us to see that it's there, weak or strong, depending on accumulation.
I think because of conceit, I mean, that only eliminated at the Arahant level. So, I mean, this conceit, Sotapanna and Anagami, perhaps, they have conceit.
Yes.
But they understand it's only a reality that rises and falls away. It doesn't belong to them. It's not their conceit.
So the critical thing is the awareness of anatta.
Realities and understanding is no self.
I think that's very important. But then, as Robin was asking us now, during those lives where we don't hear the teachings, isn't it like when there's a moment of dana, when someone really
selfishness.
So it's like a moment of compassion where it's one moment of compassion. When the next moment I have compassion, that's not Barami. But the compassion itself, when there is some real concern about the other person.
And you see that people have different accumulation, and even panya, right understanding, has been accumulated, but no conditions for its arising. But the tendency or the accumulation for each one is shown in daily life. So we don't have to pinpoint now it's panya or it's virya or it's sata or it's selfishness. Just everything is conditioned, and each life, when panya develops, it means that there is more and more understanding of realities as themselves. No expectation for anything, just to understand reality when it appears.
That's when we hear the teachings, but when we don't hear the teachings.
Yeah, or sometimes there can be thinking with panya about that. It's not permanent. Why should one know?
So
is that a good thing? Is that a good thing?
Kusala is kusala, yeah. Because we try to point out whether this is panya accumulation or this is virya accumulation or something like that. But actually, it's there until there are conditions for its arising. If there is no conditions for panya to understand dhamma right now as dhamma, it's there. But when there are conditions, it arises and it understands, like Sariputta and others.
So there can be, for example, even without dhamma, the appreciation of the value of compassion, the value of metta.
I think that we try to understand the accumulation of parami and would like to know when will it arise. But it's not like that. It's very ordinary life and everything is accumulated. And when it's right condition for anyone at any level, it appears like that.
The difference really, if we don't have dhamma, then we think that it's my actions that I'm doing.
Yes, so, but that's also a different moment from the...
It is a different moment. It is a different moment, but unfortunately, because there is that moment follows, that keeps one in ignorance for a long time. So, and one may even try and do certain actions because they think that it is kusala and not always kusala.
Right. Or, on the other hand, there may be some people relatively seeing the value of compassion, and they're focused on helping others and not think that I am the good person.
conceit of manan is that if it's not just thinking you're better, it's if you think that you're worse or you're equal to. So even when you get up and praise other people or put yourself down, you actually have mana.
Because it's consolidating the self.
Right, exactly.
I can understand, like, put yourself down or be better than the other, but what about the middle one, that, you know? So
same,
how can you
do that? Same thing. You're comparing. You're making comparisons. No, it's, it's comparison. It's about comparison.
Who can know the accumulation that Buddha's two teachers before his enlightenment, or the accumulation of ultimate or good, Vimala? See? So ordinary. And sometimes, if he hadn't met Buddha, he wouldn't have become Arahata, like the two teachers. But the accumulation is great. But who knows except for himself? So we don't have to think about our long, long time accumulation, because we cannot know that. But the development of understanding, to understand Dhamma, is the same which the most important thing.
It seems there's always this concern about finding out and trying to.
Yes, but at the same time, I suppose some things can be made clearer on an intellectual level, and it's like then that can lead to something else. So it's not everything is necessarily grasping, but mostly it is.
Mostly, but yes. Even when you say that, I was reflecting on it while asking Achan these questions. I differentiated, made the distinction as you made, but then I realized that even this, that I think is objective, is trying to find the truth. Even this, why this particular question? There was a self.
Oh yes, yes. To go back to the parable, with a bodhicitta, how does a bodhicitta come about? It's not through intending to become and to develop. Is it simply accumulation?
You mean bodhisattva?
Well, bodhisattva, sorry. Bodhisattva, yes. Yes.
Thank you. When they do become enlightened.
So exactly
the same. Each life is the same. Just develop the understanding.
I mean, like now, as against somebody else who's not interested in Dhamma, whatever you're doing is according to accumulations, you're interested in Dhamma. Same with the bodhisattva, it's particularly accumulations.
Bodhisattva doesn't have a choice. Bodhisattva just is going to be a bodhisattva just because of accumulations. Same as us. We don't have a choice.
Right, so even though it seems like it's a particular cluster of parami that result in the bodhisattva,
it's not their choice, it's just they've got the accumulations.
The accumulations, yeah. You know. I mean, it's not like one time you decide and then that's your fate. It's the whole, you know, accumulations, and it's when he made the vow today, it's like how many aeons in the future. And it's not just this particular thing. Mm-hmm. It's his accumulations.
Mm-hmm. But he did Adhidhana, right? She.
This woman,
you
have
a.
No,
you
don't have.
Coming here. Yes. It's like it doesn't have to be verbalized
yeah,
or talked about.
We don't
have a choice either to find Dhamma interesting. It just is that accumulation is defining interesting. So that's that we don't make the say, oh, mm-hmm. I think this is great, I'm going to do this.
Right.
We will say that, but it's not because there's a self that thinks that way. It's just conditions that way. Conditions, and we can't help it. We like it, and that's it. And we can't stop listening to it or coming to the talks, even though, you know. So no choice. And the Bodhisattva the same way, no choice, just conditions.
So coming here, resolution, and then subject, virya, and then
coming here.
So just chitta seekers performing their functions.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Conditions arise.
As far as me then there's enlightenment.
You've been talking about developing the perfections.
Yes.
And John has been saying that it's just like now. Just like now.
Yes.
So the point is to understand that.
That's it.
And we have no choice over that either.
Don't we need intention to understand that?
That is intention of each dukkha already. No need to do anything at all. They perform the functions already from moment to moment. But the attitude of the siddha cannot understand the reality as it is, only Panya can.
For somebody who's new to this, I suppose, to the thinking, but it can seem that that's very fatalistic. What will be, will be. There's something I can do about it.
Understand it, or just happen. Whatever will be, foundations
or fatalistic is like it's planned. Like you don't have any choice, but it's going to be planned a certain way. But this is different because one, even when one hears Dhamma, that is a very wholesome thing. And if you find it interesting, then you'll continue to listen. It's not all set out that it's going to follow this track. You might lose interest in Dhamma, or you might find even more interest in Dhamma. So it's not really fatalistic. It is. It can be very positive in a sense that one could get greater knowledge and perfect the perfections, or just because there's conditions for that.
And in daily life? Oh, well, there's no control, so why should I bother?
Well, in daily life, you know how daily life is. We have our akusala moments, and there's not much we can do about that, is there? When they happen, they happen. Even though we might think they're not good to happen, they do happen. We have our greed, or we'll have our aversion, or we'll have something happen. And I think all of us here would like it if we could just say, I don't want to have a kusala anymore.
Yeah.
It would be good, but it doesn't happen that way. So there's no, even though we have this desire to be maybe good people or not to have these bad accumulations. It doesn't happen that way. It's going to happen.
I think the difference is, on the one side, there is some understanding about the moment, about Dhammas. On the other side, it's just a story about me and my life. the fatalistic attitude is from that side, who still thinks about me in from the past, yeah, into the future.
Mm-hmm. Adam, what did you just say before, something about you don't have to do anything?
Well, that's the difference, yeah, isn't
who is
it?
Doing?
That's the question, isn't it? Who is doing?
I mean, we don't, Robert, we don't choose even to come here, mm-hmm, right? We don't choose. It just, there's conditions for us to find Dhamma.
There is no us, there's just,
yeah,
jhana seekers arising, right, to perform their functions.
Right. And we're just fortunate that they're jhana seekers that find Dhamma interesting.
But it does sound fatalistic.
It does, but it's not fatalistic, mm, in the sense of all the variables that are there.
Mm. Mm.
Right? If we thought that, as Sukhin was saying, if there's a person here and we're going to go in a certain direction, mm, you could say it's fatalistic, but there's too many variables. Mm. We don't even know if we're going to live the next minute.
Mm.
We could be dead and then go into another realm, mm, and experience something that, mm, could even be better than what we have here.
Mm. And that's for understanding Dhammas, not a story about self.
Depends on what we have here.
Well, you don't know. You might be born into an era where there is a Buddha, or, you know, one of the great conditions, you know, or when there's more enlightened people, you don't know what the situation is going to bring. I mean, we talk about this world, but this world is very much lobha driven, and there's not very much Dhamma. But the next world you go to could be one that is more suitable for Dhamma. You might even be born into Dhamma.
Instead of saying fatalistic is inevitable.
I haven't been saying it's so many variables. So what is inevitable?
Well, it seems like accumulations are inevitable. Like that.
Well, you can't know.
You can't know what karma conditions when.
Yeah, my question is more around, mm-hmm, if that the Western logic system, the Dhammic logic system, is to say, if that's the case and I accept that, then why bother about making a decision about anything at any time?
But you will make that decision. You make that decision because of conditions.
Yeah. You can't help.
That's right.
You can't help but make decisions, and that's just, again, decisions are conditions are wrong.
And the thing is that those decisions, as you find Dhamma more appealing or more valuable, those decisions tend to go towards Dhamma rather than towards just local or things like that. So
we don't need to do anything because decisions arise anyway, right? You don't need to think about decisions so much because
when you think that you do something, mm-hmm, you do not understand reality right then.
Mm-hmm. But even saying we don't need to do anything, decisions will arise on their own. And think, okay, well, I'll try not to agonize over decisions. Mm-hmm. That's just the moment.
I think Ajahn's saying that you're going to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So you don't have to think that it's someone who makes those decisions, or you don't have to think that, well, I've got to make certain types of decisions. It's just going to happen.
For example,
right,
if you think that you are going to do something, there is no understanding of reality, which has arisen, appears now. No.
You can have awareness of that thinking process.
Awareness arises by conditions, by understanding that any time, any reality must be realized as yourself at all. So instead of thinking of doing something, what about understanding reality right now?
Yeah, it does get back to the self again, doesn't it? Not knowing the moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we understand the moments, then we realize there's no control over those moments. What arises, and we can't stop them from falling away. And so it's only when we have an idea of a self that we get the idea that we can actually make changes and do different things.
Ajahn, the limiters, I don't quite understand them. I don't understand how they arise, and I don't understand what the best way to consider these are.
No, limiter.
What is it?
Whatever appears is not that which is an element which has arisen in front of me. But the succession of the arising and falling away of realities without understanding, that is the sanya of nimitta, sign or image of that which now arise and falls away all the time.
It's not a reality. It's
a reflection. Like the shadow. This are the...
Okay. It's a mental reality. It's like now seeing it through the visible object has fallen away.
Mm.
And there's no understanding of it. But yet there is seeing, right? So that seeing is of a nimitta that has fallen away. But Acharya was saying just now, this sanya, what does that have to do with?
With our sanya, how can there be people saying here?
But you're not saying that the nimitta is the memory?
The five khandhas, as there is no understanding of the arising and falling away, they are all nimitta. Of rupa khanda, nimitta of vedana khanda, nimitta of sanya khanda, all five khandhas.
So just, but not memory.
It's a mental state. Khanda. Even right now, it's not just that which has arisen and fallen away.
Right, but the nimitta of visible object.
And nimitta of vedana.
Of vedana.
And nimitta of sanya.
Of sanya.
And nimitta of sankhara khanda. And nimitta of vijnana khanda. All five.
Right, but these are not the memory of visible object that we are perceiving.
So,
it is a nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the sanya itself is also a nimitta.
It is also a
nimitta.
It's a mental object, isn't it?
But you see that who knows that now citta arises and falls away with devasitas. So they appear as nimitta of nama.
Can it be an imager of a news event? Can you have an imager of a mental object if it's a mental object?
Well, some people in meditation have quite horrendous imagers. So it's just a mental state that arises and falls away.
But nimitta and this nimitta is
different. It's a different nimitta, but it's still a nimitta. It's a nimitta in it's a mental state that arises and falls away, but it has a form that is probably that they haven't experienced in this life. But with a nimitta of what experienced through the sense doors is a mental object.
When one understands the nimitta right now, cannot we understand the other nimitta? See, the same but more illusion.
Right.
I'm a little confused here. The nimitta, is it the nimitta of visual, say for seeing, is it the nimitta of visual object, or is it the nimitta of the concept, anyati, that forms up afterwards, looking at shape and form and naming.
The mental object of what was experienced.
So it's the nimitta of visual object.
Light or sound or whatever.
Okay.
Could we say concepts also have nimitta?
Is concept real?
No.
Is it useful to consider limitless?
Yes or no? Who will give permission?
In order to develop understanding.
Understanding, right now. This is the way to develop, not just giving time for consideration.
At any time, I understand that.
It's now considering for consideration.
So in the end, if there is knowing the nimitta of visible object and knowing visible object, is there any difference?
When there is no awareness of the reality, it's quite really bad the whole day. But when there is awareness of arigati, one knows the difference between nimitta the whole day and that which appears until the arising and falling of that object is penetrated.
But before the degree of understanding arising and falling, the levels before that, even though there's awareness, is still nimitta.
Yes, but so one begins to have more of understanding about the nimitta. Until closer and closer to reality.
Okay. But both nimitta and the actual reality have characteristics. Like visible object, the nimitta visible object is that which is seen by the
depending
eye.
Depending on understanding. For example, now when we say that, now that is nimitta of visible object, do we understand that in that? See? But when there is awareness of the visible object, it begins to understand what is nimitta and what is the actual rupa which has arisen and fallen away. And when Panya develops, it understands better the actual rupa.
And is it the continual arising of the nimitta which, among other things, gives us the wrong view, wrong impression that they're permanent and lasting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not knowing nimitta as nimitta.
Okay. Wrong view itself is the problem, because seeing does not have, there's not a content of wrong view. There can be an understanding of this is the logic. And yet it's not experiencing that separate. It's still nimitta that's being experienced. So it's not a question of because it arises and falls away so fast that there is misunderstanding. It's just that misunderstanding arises.
Arises. Wrong view arises. Okay.
What can we say about attributing self to everything that is perceived? Where is that self? Is it just an idea?
Latent tendency, this one. Who sees?
Is it a latent tendency to think?
It depends on whether that moment that is Krishna of wisdom, whether it is your Devasikas arise with that Dika or not.
Let's say a Kusala Pita arises.
Okay. With or without wrong view?
With wrong view.
When again, even it's arises with Dika, when does it arise? Because it arises and falls away all the time. So it's when that Panyana. See, we can talk about different jittas, the 12 apusala jittas and 8 of lokamula jittas for withdrawal. Just talk about them. But now, which one is this?
Mm-hmm. Well, now thinking about people and things.
But we are talking about wrongdoing.
Yes.
So it's just talking about wrongdoing, not knowing whether it arises or not.
Mm-hmm.
Is there wrong view now or not? Are you sure?
Yeah.
People
and things they say.
No, but what you can do is you have to go to the opposite extreme and look at the reality of a moment that arises and falls away. For example, if we can stop on hardness, then and only stop right on hardness, then that's all there is. There's that characteristic of hardness. There's no self, there's no world, there's no people here, there's nothing, there's no seeing, hearing, smelling, there's just hardness. And so every moment has a characteristic. So when we bring it down to each moment, we see that there is never a self there.
But that's
right? And so Panya has to arise and know that. And
it's
know
not
that
possible it's to bring it down to that moment, but if we...
Well, Panya can arise and know it that way. That's the thing about Banya. It can know that it is just that characteristic and that it does fall away, and therefore there's no self in that reality. So right now, because we don't have that understanding, we tend to think there are people and things because of ignorance.
I think that that's what my question, what is it that puts the self into?
The self is there because we don't understand the moment. There's no Banya that knows the moment. If there was Banya that knows the moment, there's never any more self again. So as long as there's not that understanding, there's always going to be an idea there's a self and there's people.
So it's simply concept.
It's lack of understanding of reality for what it really is.
But I don't think it follows that there is thinking there must be wrong view.
And I don't think you're having wrong view now, because wrong view comes with lopa and it's attached to an idea. If you really believe there is a self.
But don't we believe there is a self?
Well,
conventionally, I can say that's Ivan, that's me.
I think we believe,
and it does not happen all the time.
I think we do believe this.
With
the
ish, one cannot understand one sita, how can one understand the other?
But you can't believe it because it's impossible if you haven't reached Sotipanna. You can conceptualize there's no self. But you haven't really understood it.
Otherwise, at the later level, there's three levels. There's asava, there's vittikama, what's the other level? What's the three? Asava is the latent.
Anusaya,
and then starting to arise is Pariyutana. And finally Vittikama is when it's really out there.
Right.
At that level, for a good Dharma student, Michipati is not arising very often.
And you're mixing Vanyati with Michipati?
Very probably. I think the answer must be yes.
But Banyata is not Michatiti.
Right. Sorry?
Banyati.
Concepts.
Okay, concepts, not. Yes.
We have concepts of people, of course, but that's different from Michatiti.
Yes, okay. But you're going to tell me you've eradicated Michatiti?
No, I've just said that it's later.
It doesn't matter, it's still there.
But John, sorry, can you talk to us a bit about Banyati and Michatiti? Elaborate on what you just said.
Different jitas to understand that they cannot be mixed. Gusala is different, and Gusala is a
Gusala. Doesn't matter how many times you're wrong, it's there.
Without awareness, no one can tell what moment it is, whether it is Gusala or a Gusala, because they arise ultimately, very rapidly. So we can talk about different jitas and understand that loka can arise with avicca, and sometimes there is and sometimes that is mana. This is scary. But nobody can tell whenever it's there or not until awareness arises, and then Panya will understand that particular moment, whether that is attachment or whether there is wrongdoing or whether there is mana. Otherwise it's only intellectual mistakes.
But we have to correct our intellectual understanding, because if we mistake mana for Michatiti,
intellectually.
When there's dosa, is there Michatiti?
I'm not arguing how many times Michatiti arises. I'm saying there is Michatiti. That's it.
It was really a question. I think that was clarified about the difference between concepts and wrong view. I think that's where my question was focused. Except I'm not sure that I understand the idea of a good Dharma student and a and a not so good Dharma student.
It's my little
right, I mean, it's obviously.
It's mana. It's the thing that is mana. Yes. Yes. Awareness is awareness.
And
right.
Mana.
That, yes.
Sorry, mana
just
is
thinking.
Conceit.
Yes.
Yes. Do we define conceit here?
Conceit?
I know what, I mean, I know conventionally what conceit is.
We're talking about being comparison.
Comparing, better than.
Comparing, okay.
Even there is no one, like in Arupa Brahma, but there can be conceit.
Mm-hmm.
See?
It's like self-reference. Suddenly, you know, that's mine.
Self-reference.
But it's, I mean, it's, it must be much more common than we think. It's not just when we obviously have conceit.
Yeah,
it's
very,
can be very subtle.
Yes.
That arises a lot.
That, I agree, that arises very often.
Mm-hmm.
Lobha arises very often. Losa arises very often.
So, and Mitya Ditti is the wrong view.
Yeah, right.
But there is a self. Mitya Ditti is a jitasika. Yes. And when we... we look at that box, Kleenex. Well, theoretically, well, from hearing the Dhamma, I think that box isn't an absolute
no
reality.
No idea about it, you just like or dislike it.
Yeah.
No idea about it.
Might be low power, you might just have low power or things about the colour.
Right.
Once you start trying to figure out, philosophize about the nature of boxes, I'm sure a lot of wrong view would come in.
You would know if you started thinking about it, you would know as a Dharma student that it's just the concept of a box. What is, you know, it's just visible object.
So I think it's very important to know thinking as just thinking. And you know, even if we continue to think a lot about where the box came from, as long as we know it's just thinking, it's not a problem.
That's why in one's life, the development of understanding reality is just done, is the best.
Before you said, don't have to do anything for it. Your words,
right?
Because, but someone can take that wrongly.
Yeah, that's true.
Not dumber people.
Not good dumber people.
It's not understanding
of
reality right now because you keep on thinking, I have to do something. Robert, when I said about being a good dumber student, surely that is like a moment-to-moment thing as well.
Yes,
of course.
I was just thinking the other night I got some news that one of my pets was very ill. And so immediately, a lot of sadness and worry and the pet was very real and the sickness was very real. And so it seems that at that time, forgetting about reality is falling away and forgetting about.
We do that a
so
lot.
So at that moment, it seemed like not a good student of Dharma, you know?
I guess.
No, but
then maybe later thinking differently, but it seems that these things come up.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and
but by accumulations, maybe you also got, after that period of sadness or whatever, the accumulations come up to have
think
wisdom
differently.
Again. Yeah.
Yes. But
so think about it wisely.
But moment by moment, it seems that nothing
because
lasts.
Because there is no self. Yeah,
that's right.
No,
nothing lasts.
But that's a daily occurrence for all of us.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it might not be a pet, but it's food or
that was
something
just an
else.
Example.
Yeah.
That was just an example.
It can become
for one's children.
Quite
for
sort
children,
of debilitating. So I was just thinking, just to take that example a bit further, where we were at the house yesterday and a little dog appeared.
Yes.
The little dog wasn't the little dog.
No.
The little dog was
thinking about
Mark,
it. Yes, that's right.
The dog from back home.
So many moments in the day when not being a Dharma student, it seems to me.
and visual object. Once we get to the point where we're seeing reds, blues, yellows, or boxes, we've moved to shape and form and panyati. But does visual object distinguish? I find myself wondering, and it's from something I read in the. The Abhidhamma, the big red book. Nina's translation. Yes. Is visual. Visual object. Okay, conventionally we're going to have yellow and black. When visual object. When. Okay, seeing consciousness experiences visual object.
Color.
No, I disagree. I don't think it's color.
Well, this is, I guess, where I'm going.
To me,
color and different ones.
No, color is a concept.
Mm.
It's visible object. There's no color in visible object. It's only afterwards that you define it as yellow or black.
But there are variations.
Then you define it, but
there are
variations. But the visible object has that particular image.
Sure. It has the visible object is visible object.
As far as our experience is concerned,
if you start to put
between visible object and color, then?
Well, color to me gives an idea that there are colors.
There are.
I know, but that's a concept. It's a concept. It has to be a concept. Visible object is visible object. It doesn't. It just is what it is.
Do you have to name the color of what is seen?
You don't have to name.
Right, is seen.
No. I think naming the colors is not seeing.
Right.
I'm aware of that, but.
And no need to name.
No.
Because it's seeing.
Right.
I'm just thinking of people who are less advanced in Dhamma. If you talk about color, then they have ideas of what color is.
Yeah,
and therefore they have an idea that you are seeing yellow or black, or you see, and it's not the same.
Well, and I'm not asking yellow or
sound.
Black.
Same sound. We don't know the same sound or color.
Even sound may not be the best word, but it's sound does not define a particular type of sound. Color does tend to give an idea of yellow, black, red, green, blue to a person's mind. So I think visible object is visible
it's
object
easy.
Doesn't
it
have
it just appears through the eyes.
Yes, it just appears through the eyes. There's no idea of what the colors are. Now, between us, we can say color. But if we're talking to other people, they will get the idea that they actually see yellows and blues and greens, and which is not true, because that's only conceptual.
And they don't know that it's only reality which can be seen.
Okay. Well, whether there's panya or not, the visible object is exactly the same.
Right.
But having no understanding of visible object, there will be a tendency to attend to visible object with right understanding.
This is an interesting point when you say there will be a tendency to attend.
Yes.
By conditions, by sankhara khanda.
Okay.
Understand that what is seen as something is different from the understanding of visible object.
Okay.
There will be the conditions to attend. How do we juxtapose that with your don't have to know
no need to do anything?
Achan is talking about conditionality.
Mm-hmm.
When there's one kind of understanding leading to another kind, that's another level of understanding.
Good, I like it.
We know the danger of conditioned realities, right? So. What does that mean when we
eradicate the current, so move them towards the unconditioned.
What's the near goal?
The near goal.
Yes. Yes. Near.
Understand this moment.
The thing about it, the doubt is lost, and the doubt is found, and there is a doubt, only when there is thinking. But when Chitta doesn't think, there is no doubt. So it's only in one's thought.
In my thoughts.
Only the whole world. I could see in hearing, smelling.
And that is working.
That is difficult when, because Christ-sadness arises, some understanding that this is this is just a.
But the truth is the akusala citta arises, that's all.
How to
that does not arise? How can there be service?
And how to express loving kindness and compassion to my influence that man who is suffering?
Reality arising with akusala citta. Thinking of the dog.
But I'm not thinking of the dog, I'm there saying I'm upset.
So how can you have met that without personally being a dog? Okay. Awesome.
My letter is for May, but her sadness, so I don't
so
think
you think about
this is. Yeah.
Is it matter or is it sadness?
With me, no, it's me.
No, with you, towards her. Is it sadness or is it metta?
Metta.
Mm-hmm. Or is it
home? It can be anything. No,
it's not anything. It can be a mystery.
The question is how to know.
How to know and how to act.
Well, acting often is to talk about Dhamma.
Yes, just to.
Talk about the fact that it's just mental thoughts arising and falling away, that one makes stories which can.
Yeah.
Cannot be true necessarily. You know. The dog might be less sick than you were told.
In terms of where is the dog now?
Mm-hmm.
The dog is thinking.
Where's the cake now? Or India.
It's thinking.
Yeah.
It's thinking.
Yeah.
And yet the rupas that comprise, well, I can't experience them now because.
So my parents are dead now.
Yes.
But I could think about them being in Australia in their home right now, and if I hadn't known they were dead, I could be thinking that they were alive.
Right.
But I remember being down in Huihin in a temple down there and thinking about that and thinking about that's all you're doing. You're just thinking. You know, my parents were alive then, but I would think about my parents in Australia. But they could have died the day before and I would have known. I still would have had thoughts that they were alive. So it's all about the thinking is what creates that idea that there's people around and your dog is in Australia.
Well, we talked about this a bit on the trip, and we referred occasionally to Mount Everest. And Mount Everest is just a concept in my mind that I'm thinking of. But as a rupa that is not being experienced by this being at the moment, it is still rupa that is arising and falling away.
It's a reality.
It's a reality.
Thinking reality, not rupa.
Ajahn was talking about how rupas rise and fall away without being experienced.
That's right. So the dog is arising and falling. Well, the dog is still
rupas.
Those certain types of rupas.
If the dog is dead, there's certain types of rupas arising and passing away. If it's alive, there's other types of rupas arising and passing away.
What types of rupa?
I can't experience it now.
The dog. You said that the dog is rupa, and the question is what kind of thing.
Yes.
Dog rufus. Sorry.
Solidity, temperature, motion.
So you call that a dog.
That's a concept that we form up as a dog, yes, yes.
Nobody's talking about the chitta of the dog.
Is there
yes,
any...
But I know in terms of development of satipatthana awareness at this moment, it's a concept. It's
if
thinking,
you don't
the
call
dog.
That moment satipatthana, it's what? That moment?
Well, it's a moment.
Yes.
Of nama.
If you don't we call it
concept as an object, you don't call it satipatthana.
What is then at that moment when you don't name it or call
just
it at all?
Just
the direct understanding.
Direct understanding.
Of reality right now. No need to say it's satipatthana, kaya, citta, vedana. Just
yes.
The understanding.
The understanding. The understanding. Yes.
Otherwise, we cling and think, how can I have it, or how can
right.
I develop it, or can it arise now, things like that.
Right.
But realities are presenting themselves now. So it's the direct understanding and the hearing and thinking.
And if there is no direct understanding at this moment, then
it's
it is
thinking. It's reality.
And just to go back to Arvind's example.
And this is satyana, when one knows it. It's only direct awareness or direct understanding which will lead to the noble truths, the
right.
understanding of the common truths.
So, just to go to Arvind's example about thinking about his parents, although they were dead.
Like,
what is the difference between thinking about one's parents
yeah.
in their company?
Excuse me.
And
it's exactly the same.
It's
right.
The same.
Where's the dog?
Yeah.
Okay. So whether they are dead or alive,
mm-hmm.
the thinking is
or here,
yeah. here
or not here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though right here in front of you, it's still
yes.
just thinking.
We really live in a world of concepts and thinking.
Mm.
That expression, lost in thought, has particular relevance, doesn't it?
Mm.
Lost in thought.
What did you say to him before about the mitta in the beginning or before Dharma or something is all 100% in the mitta, and then slowly, with this understanding that's getting closer and closer to reality, it's still in the mitta, but approaching reality.
Yes, because another meaning of sati is that which can get the nature of reality as it is.
By
understanding
an awareness
yes.
of the
whenever
rising
there is
awareness.
Understanding, no need to think about awareness, because otherwise we try to provide awareness.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
For awareness to arise, but actually it's not like that.
What is the definition of sati, not kanya? You said one of the definitions of sati.
Yes, it is aware, that which is aware, because it, at this moment, when it's at this level, there is no awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But when there is awareness, it is aware. And panya understands that object which awareness is aware.
It's kind of hard to separate what's panya, what's sati.
Panya understand,
mm.
but it does not aware.
It does not
aware. It's not aware.
Can you rewind a bit, Robert? You were saying that when there is awareness, it is aware of aware, and panya understands.
Awareness is aware, yes. And Panya understands. Same object, same moment.
Yes.
But Panya understands the object, yes, that Sati is aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Panya has the function of understanding. And Sati has the function of
being aware.
When there's Panya, there's always Sati. Mm-hmm. So really,
no need to think about having Sati or having Sati at all.
This made a big difference to me when I read that in one of Nina's books, because prior to that I always sort of thought Sati is something that tends to make you want to try to be aware. But then Nina explained Panya should be emphasized rather than Sati, so it was very helpful.
So when we say Panya understands the object that Sati is aware of, it recognizes it.
Or understands.
Understands it.
Its characteristics.
Its characteristics, yeah.
But does it compare with other characteristics?
No.
Just Sati is aware of its characteristics as well.
Chetasika experience the same object with Panya and with Jitta. So awareness performs the function of being aware, and Panya performs the function of understanding.
And Sati can arise without Panya. And it arises.
But Panya cannot arise without
Sati.
Yes. So no need to think or prepare to have Sati when there is understanding. If awareness is not aware, how can Panya understand that object?
If Sati arises without Panya, then there is awareness.
Sati is awareness.
Yes, but no understanding.
Mm-hmm. Many times, I mean,
it's a bit like a distinguishing.
Sati arises with all kusala chittas.
Okay. I find myself thinking more about visual object and sound.
Thinking about or being aware.
Thinking about, well, not thinking. Maybe there's some level of awareness of which I'm not.
In what term?
Pardon?
In what term?
Thinking, you mean the thinking?
And you said that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I
think. In what aspect?
Well, when I open my eyes and I
think about it.
Well, I have a brief thought. Oops, shape, form, and people again. You know, when I'm seeing shapes. When I open my eyes, I find myself thinking, oh, more people, shape, and forms, and no awareness of visual object.
That's the way it is.
Yes.
But not the awareness of that which is seen.
Yes.
That's the true nature of that which is seen.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so instead of the usual thinking about people and things, after we heard about a lot of visual object, this can be conditioned for developing the understanding, not I who develops, but it's the understanding right now. What is seen now is so real, mm-hmm. It's just a reality, mm-hmm. An element which can be be seen. There is no one in the world or any moment it arises. There are only different realities. No one here, only different realities. And we begin to understand different reality as visual object is not seeing, and sound is not hearing, and thinking is not found, and it's not seeing, not hearing at all. Different elements all day.
And this is the way.
From birth to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the way it happens. First, a lot of thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I find, interestingly, don't even think about it when I'm eating. like it's just attachment and I guess different accumulations for different. I think about visual object and I think about sound, but I don't think about
taste,
nutrition and tasting.
That's interesting.
So one can see that reality is all arise and following in split seconds. And when there is no understanding of one of them, there must be that about story and things all around all the time. Until Panya understands a reality and another reality and any reality as fast. Because we usually talk about detachment. It cannot arise at will. Mm-hmm. And one has to know that without understanding, it's impossible to be detached. For example, when there is the idea or intention or whatever it is, or a moment of awareness of a reality, it falls away. But since it's not directly experienced like that, there's sometimes or always thinking or concerned about that with some idea without understanding that is another reality arising in succession. We get stuck with one object, like I know that, or it just happened, or it has fallen away, along moments, many moments for that experience, instead of become detached and being able to be aware of other reality instantly. And to know whether that is attachment or not, it one knows by himself whether there is attachment to that object, which Sati is aware and Panya understands. But still there is attachment. Until nothing but different realities arising and falling in succession. Otherwise, no way to become detached and then be aware of other reality instantly. So there may be things to know whether that is still attachment or less attachment, depending on Panya only.
Mm-hmm.
That's why no need to think about anything else, just understand. At moment of hearing, considering about reality which appears there, like this word object right now. The development is that which begins to understand whatever is seen here is just a reality before there can be detachment from.
It seems that instead of understanding what arises, because of attachment itself, we are asking this and that about what might be, what was. Not enough Panya.
By understanding this, Panya develops until it knows what's the truth and what's the meaning. So it has to be like this.
So awareness becomes more frequent as understanding grows.
No conditions. No expectation. Otherwise, Rupa comes again instantly. So Panya has to understand Rupa as it is, so Rupa will have less conditions to arise.
I think before hearing about Dhamma and about arising and falling away of realities, I used to think that everything was
permanent.
And if I didn't hear something, it was because maybe I wasn't paying attention or something like that. But slowly it becomes maybe a little clearer that the eyes can be open, but when there is talking and sound, sometimes there is there has to be no visible object. So little by little, the visible object is like the continuity is broken. Does that make sense? The continuity of sound, the continuity of physical object,
continuity of hardness.
On a conceptual level.
And that on a conceptual
the yes, continuity yes. in thinking.
Yes.
But you think, yes. you think you're seeing and hearing all of the tasting if you happen to be having lunch all at the same time.
But there's some realization that that cannot be happening. Mm-hmm. So that when maybe it's like, oh, something hasn't been seen, then that is natural because other realities were actually arising. Maybe I'm not expressing this so clearly, but it's just at a conceptual level, it seems to make more sense.
And we can see avijja all gone only this moment.
Sorry?
Right? Because you think about it and you hear this or that, or seeing this or that, but actually they are completely gone. Only what you think is now is real.
You're saying imagine that? Or
no, it's it all is. They are all gone. It shows ignorance, whether it's there, whether I understand that thing, but they are gone.
The interesting thing is that actually there's so much thinking going on after each moment of seeing and smelling and tasting and hearing that there's actually a lot of darkness.
Yes.
Because of thinking. But that is not known.
We don't notice it at all.
No, I don't notice it.
Because not used to noticing it.
Well, there's no banya. There's no banya that arises and knows.
No matter you like it or not, no matter you know it or not, they are gone.
There has to be banya for that too.
That's
they're all gone. And you can think of them being all gone, but then I can immediately come back to where John always says, and what about that?
The same as now. They are gone.
Yes, that's right. I find myself forming up these little images in my head, not so much. I know I was focused on what awareness might be like at one point. But I would actually love to get rid of them. But it won't happen. Today's it's sort of in a graphic form. But it's we're so used to conceptualizing. So used to it. And the teachers are even color coded. But it's
and that's also like Lopa trying, isn't it? Lopa trying
to know. Yes, yes.
It cannot help it. I mean, we go by what we know. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how we've so far learned how to grasp and try to, you know, get things and conceptualize, get the idea of things. So we continue the same way. Mm-hmm. We're used to thinking in terms of atoms, so we think about chitta's like atoms. Yeah. You know, can't be helped. But as we hear more and more, we know that it's not like that. We begin to catch ourselves making the mistake of trying to think it the wrong way.